And so when we come to this final Sunday and to the celebration of Christ the King, it seems to have a certain irony to have this reading that in so many ways seems so dark, this final judgment of not just the people of Israel, not just the people of the new covenant, but of all the nations gathered before the very presence of God, gathered before Jesus. In this case, the true fulfillment of the Messiah, Jesus as the shepherd, Jesus as the one who perfected what first came into being in the person of King David, the shepherd boy, who served and ministered as one after God's own heart. This image, it's not a parable. Sometimes it's described as the parable of the last judgment. But it's not one of the parables that Jesus tells. It's Jesus as prophet. Jesus making this declaration to his disciples about what would unfold in the fullness of time. That everything would come to pass. And as such, because of the prophetic power of this image, this prophecy has haunted the Christian church over the last 2,000 years. It's inspired, of course, great painters, sculptors, people who work in stained glass windows. The image has been captured and cast in so many churches across the world. Even more so, of course, it's inspired saints, men and women, to dedicate and commit their lives to indeed serving the poorest of the poor. When Mother Teresa has been asked why she did the things that she did, why did you serve and care for the most neglected in society? And she would look at the fingers of her hand and she would count off the fingers as she said, "You did it to me." It's the reason that Mother Teresa dedicated and committed herself to the poor. This idea that when she served the poorest of the poor, "You did it to me." That she served the Lord Jesus. She served her brothers and sisters, not just faceless and nameless people, like so much of the world considers people who are not like us. The challenge of this prophecy of Jesus, the challenge of the prophecy that was so perfectly fulfilled just a few days after he uttered these words when he mounted the cross. And above his head, there is, of course, the inscription that reads, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." This is the way that the King has operated. This is the way that the King calls his people to serve, to lead. These six different opportunities that are presented to serve the least of these, to serve all of creation, to serve all those around us. And this, my friends, ultimately is the way that all of us will be judged. This is the way that the Lord has set forth will be the judgment of the nations. In some ways, this doesn't apply to us because we know the story. We know that if we serve the poor, if we feed the hungry, if we give drink to the thirsty, if we welcome the stranger, if we clothe the naked, if we visit the sick, if we go to those in prison, that each of those actions, those corporal works of mercy, somehow involve the very person of Jesus. So for us, it shouldn't be a surprise. It shouldn't be this shock when hopefully we're put there with the sheep on the right hand of Christ. Because we know the reason that we have done those things. This judgment is mainly for those who have never known the Lord, who have never experienced the call that we have discovered, what it is to be united in fellowship with the Lord around the altar. for those who don't know the Lord, who haven't had that opportunity to respond in faith to Christ. This is the way that they will be judged. Our criteria of judgment will be even higher than this. Our criteria of judgment will be our personal response to the Lord. That is the call to truly follow the King. That is the call to indeed follow in the way of the Master, to stretch out our arms, to open our hearts, to give of ourselves, to allow the Lord's grace and mercy to call us, to lead us, and to transform us.